I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Can you hear the voice crying in the wilderness? Can you hear the crying?
Can you
hear the voice crying in the wilderness? Can you hear the crying?
Saying, oh,
prophet crying in the wilderness, speaking to the people, saying, one is coming both to judge and save. You must prepare the way of the Lord.
Can you hear the voice crying in the wilderness? Can you hear the crying?
Can you
hear the voice crying in the wilderness? Can you hear the crying?
Saying, oh,
prepare ye,
saying,
oh, prepare ye,
saying,
oh, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Saying, oh,
prepare ye,
saying, oh,
then came the Baptist crying in the wilderness, I baptize you with water, oh, but one is coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
Now we join the crying in the wilderness. Let us lift up our voices, saying, come, Lord Jesus, now into our lives. Let us prepare the way of the Lord.
Can you
hear the voice that is crying?
Thank you, Sharon Singers, for that challenge to share the good news. And thank you, my friend, for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. What a joy to work together in preparing the way of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the signs of the times and the closing days of history. In verse 14, Jesus said this, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." I believe we're living in those days right now. I truly believe God has given this generation the tools and the resources we need to see this prophecy fulfilled. Electronic communication has enabled the spreading of the gospel in ways that wasn't possible in previous generations. Countries that are closed to missionary presence can now be reached in a variety of ways without ever leaving home. On my desk, I have a little device about the size of a quarter. That little device has on it the Jesus film in English and several other languages. It also has the Gospel of John and other Christian audio and video. It can plug into anything that has a USB port or any device with a micro USB port. And it also has a removable micro SD card that would fit in most mobile devices. It's amazing. And that's just one device out of many that are available today to share the good news of the gospel. God is truly preparing the way for the coming of His Son, the Lord Jesus.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear now is at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, free from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christ is away.
Thank you, Paul Mayer's Quartet. Last week on The Voice of Hope, we were looking at the life of Barnabas, one of the leaders in the early church. His very name means encourager. You know, sadly, there's so much negativity in our world, so much strife and division, and it's even among those who profess to follow Jesus. But you and I are commanded in Scripture to encourage each other as we pursue God's calling on our lives. Barnabas' life shows us how we should do this. We observed last time how Barnabas was willing to use his possessions to encourage and to assist those who were part of the newly formed church in those early days after Pentecost. Barnabas had some real estate. That was a significant form of wealth in that day, even as it is today. And he was willing to sell that real estate and give the proceeds to the church so the needs of others could be met. Barnabas was willing to become like the poorest person who was part of that early church. His example demonstrated a freedom from the love of things and a heart of love for the poor. He is a good role model for us today. And then the second example we noted in Barnabas' life was how he used his position or his influence. He used it to encourage others. Remember when Saul was converted to Christ? All the Christians were afraid of him. That's not a surprise, because Saul was well known for persecuting the church, and now he says he's a Christ follower. Barnabas was the one who took Saul and introduced him to the church at Jerusalem. So Barnabas used his position and his influence as one of the leaders of the early church to say, "Hey, brothers, this guy is for real. He's one of us. And we know the impact that Saul, or Paul, had on the early church. And then later on, in response to some effective evangelism in Antioch, Barnabas left there and traveled to Tarsus to find Saul. He evidently felt strongly that the church at Antioch could benefit from Saul's ministry. He willingly undertook a journey of about 243 kilometers, that's about 150 miles, to locate Saul and to bring him back to Antioch. And the two of them stayed in Antioch for a whole year, teaching the people. That's commitment. Now there's one final example of encouragement we want to look at from the life of Barnabas on today's program. That final example is Barnabas' persistence. Let's turn to Acts chapter 12, and I will read verses 25 through chapter 13 and verse 5. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So, on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not of a man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God, and he was eaten by worms and died. Now chapter 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, whom had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, take special note of verse 5, the verse I just read. Then, let's take a look at verse 13 of chapter 13. It says this, "Now, when Paul and his party set sail for Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." So here's what happened. John Mark started out on this missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas. He goes with them as far as Perga, and then he returns home. Evidently, he became discouraged or homesick, or maybe both. We don't really know. But we do know that his departure didn't sit well with Paul. He may have seen John Mark as a wimp, or maybe a mama's boy, someone who was not suitable for the rigors of ministry in that particular time in history. So let's turn now to Acts chapter 15 and verses 36 to 41. "Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now, Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Here we see the persistence of Barnabas. He was resolved that John Mark should have another chance, and Paul said, "No way, nothing doing." And they disagreed so strongly that they actually parted company. You know, this is one of those times when God used man's stubbornness to his glory. Because now, instead of one missionary team, you have two. Paul and Silas went through Cilicia and Syria, and Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been like Paul in this case? You looked at someone's failure, or someone's lack of maturity, or their lack of dependability, and you said to yourself, you know what? I won't do that again. I'm glad that God hasn't been that way with me. When we lived in the city, I regularly took our young sons to the local park. And one day when we were there, we met a man and his young daughter. And I discovered that he was a new Christian. He had come out of the rock music and drug culture. And I discovered that he only lived about a block away from us. So I invited him to come over to our house and visit. And sure enough, he came. And he didn't just come once. He came several times. In fact, many times, each week, for months. He'd play his guitar, and he'd sing with our boys, and they loved him. When we got a little weary of his coming, we reminded ourselves that he was like a baby. He was learning to walk. And eventually, his visits became less frequent. Today, he is still walking with the Lord. But you know, they don't all turn out that way. Some people go so far with Jesus and then they say, what he's asking me to do is too hard. I just can't do it. And sometimes that happens after months or even years of investment. And just like that, they're gone. It can be hard if you're the one who has walked with them. But Barnabas was determined to give John Mark another chance. So they teamed up together and they headed for Cyprus. And what was the result of Barnabas giving John Mark that second chance? Did Paul ever get over his disgust with John Mark? Well, in Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, Paul writes this, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So at least there's a softening of the attitude there. Now, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, where we have some of the Apostle Paul's last recorded words. And I'll read verses 9 to 12. Paul writes this, Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Now listen, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Antichicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. John Mark evidently heeded that call from the aged Apostle Paul. Because later on, we find John Mark in Rome with the Apostle Peter. You can read about that in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 13. And we know that John Mark stayed on at Rome for several years more as an assistant to Peter. Then when Peter died, John Mark went to Alexandria in Egypt, and he eventually became the first bishop of the church in that city. You see, because of Barnabas' faithful persistence, John Mark became a valuable soldier of the cross. If Barnabas had taken Paul's advice, what would have happened? Instead of the impact of John Mark's ministry being restricted to the time of the early church, today you and I are the beneficiaries of Barnabas' persistent investment. Many scholars believe that Mark's gospel was the first of the gospels to be written. And as you know, if you've read through them, it's unique to the other Gospels. Now, lest you think that Barnabas was perfect, I point you toward Galatians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 16, because these verses outline for us a failure in Barnabas' record, a record that was otherwise stellar. Here's what the text says. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, "If you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified." My friend, I hope you can see how you can be a Barnabas. Are you willing to use your possessions, your resources, whatever those are, to encourage those who are in need? Are you willing to use your position or your influence to encourage those people who perhaps are, as we say, on the margins? Will you use your influence to help others accept the unpopular, or perhaps the person who's a social misfit? And are you willing to persist in encouraging someone, even when others tell you, "You know what? Just give it up"? Are you willing to continue encouraging, even in the face of rejection and disgust from others? You know, friend, this message springs from a need in my own heart and life, and I hope God has used it to speak to you too. Together, let's commit ourselves to be more like Barnabas, to be encouragers. God bless you.
This is how we know true love. Jesus gave his life for others. This is how we show true love. We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his life for me.
He gave his life for you.
He gave his life for me.
Love is demonstrated, feigned and underrated. Love is demonstrated again. Love from everlasting, love all else surpassing, love to everlasting again.
God so loved,
gave his Son.
Jesus
loved, gave his life.
This is how we know true love.
Jesus gave his life for others.
This is how we show true love.
We should give our life for our brothers.
He gave his
life for you.
He gave his
life for me.
He gave his life for
his life for me.
Thank you, men. My friend, I hope you were encouraged by today's teaching, and I hope you can become a better encourager, just like Barnabas. If you'd like a copy of today's teaching on an audio CD or a printed manuscript, just ask for the teaching, Be a Barnabas. You can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your comments to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org. And use the Contact Us button that's right on our homepage. and there's also a place there for you to submit a prayer request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging listener testimony. It's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Once again, you may contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, to learn more about the ministry and how you can become a partner with us. You can also listen to any of our archived programming when you visit the website, including the teaching you heard today. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, Be a Barnabas. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope as we study the Word of God together. And until we meet again,
now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
To Him be glory in the church and in Christ's 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 church.
Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us.
To Him be glory in the church and in Christ's 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 church.
Measurably more than all we ask or imagine.